right, today's episode is going to be a little bit different for two reasons. First, I am not talking about a book I just read. I am talking about writing under a pseudonym. The second thing that's different about today is that I am currently laying on the floor. My neck is fucked. It's been hurting for like 2 weeks. I've been to the physical therapist twice, and it feels good when I go, and then when I get home, it just hurts more. I don't know if I did. I didn't do, it's not like one thing that happened. My neck is just, it's just like a lot of little things, and the body, everything's connected. And so I think the bottom line is that I need to start weight training. And so as soon as this calms down, I will start to lift weights. But in the meantime, last night I started reading The Surrender Experiment by Michael A. Singer. I mean, you guys know that my life was changed by reading his other book, The Untethered Soul, and I've never read The Surrender Experiment just because I felt like maybe it would be too similar, but people keep, it keeps being brought up to me. So I was like, okay, let me read this thing. And I've barely read any, like I read a couple chapters last night and I haven't even really learned anything yet, but just the fact that I'm reading The Surrender Experiment and I just know what it's about. It's about, you know, surrendering to whatever, life's will, life's forces, what have you. I was just like, I need to stop the way I've been living these past 2 weeks, which is just trying to force myself to go about my day and live my life and pretend that this pain isn't happening. And one way for me to do that is to lay the fuck down, because that's the only way that my neck can relax. And so I could either not do this podcast episode today and just rest, or I could surrender to what's going on in my body and just lay down. So I'm aware that laying down changes my energy, and I'm going to constantly be checking in with myself to make sure that my energy is good. All right, that was the context you didn't need to know, and I gave it to you anyway. So let's get to it. So why am I doing an entire episode on this? I have been writing as Charlie Bleeker for over 4 years. And by the way, when I decided to write as Charlie, I only made it a year commitment. I said, okay, I'm going to give this a go for 1 year, and that would probably be it. I kind of figured I would just, it was just an experiment. And then I got to the year, and when I got to the year, I was like, oh, wow, I think this, I might do this forever. So writing under a pseudonym seems to be the thing that people are the most curious about, and the thing that I write and talk the least about. And I think part of it is maybe like the meta-ness of it. I prefer to write about personal stuff. Writing about writing under a pseudonym is writing about not the craft of writing, but kind of this like behind the scenes of like what I'm doing. And it's just not as interesting to me. And also, I don't think that the answers that I have are even that exciting. And maybe they will be to you. But I guess just because I'm living it, there's nothing, it seems pretty obvious to me what I'm doing. I know that it's not. So that's why we're doing this today. So I think the question is, do you want to write under a pseudonym or not? That is what I try to ask people when they're like, oh, I'm thinking about writing under a pseudonym. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. And that's what a lot of people want to do when they say they want to write under a pseudonym. Do my friends read my writing? No, they do not. Does my family read my writing? No, they do not. That is the whole point, you guys. So here's what happens. You write that one piece that you really want to share with that one person. You know, because it's about them and it's like, oh, they're going to love it. So you share it and you get all those, that dopamine, and they tell you how wonderful it is and they tell you how wonderful you are. And then months later, when you want to write something else about that person that isn't so flattering, you can't, because you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Okay? The point of pseudonymity is freedom in your writing, period. If you care at all about growing your audience in a time span of less than 10 years, don't do it. I have between 1,200 and 13 subscribers to my newsletter. Do you know how many more subscribers I would have if I had my audience under my real name? I did have an audience under my real name, you guys. Before I became Charlie, I wrote a blog for 9 years. 9 years. A lot of people now, when they talk about writing under pseudonym, they're like, oh, I can't switch because I already started writing under my name. I already have my audience. Of course you can switch. You don't want to, which is totally fine, but you can. You can always switch to a pseudonym. When I was deciding to write under pseudonym, I was unsure for a bit. Of course, it was Sam's idea, because all of my best ideas are Sam's ideas. And he was encouraging me to write under a pseudonym, and I was like, but I have my audience and everybody, you know, I've been writing this blog for so long and everybody knows me as this, and now nobody's going to be able to read my stuff, blah, 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 blah. And it's easy to let that keep you from doing the thing that is going to feel really good. And the thing about writing under a pseudonym is that I did not know how good it was going to feel until I was doing it for a prolonged period of time. And that's why I say the year, because that really will give you a sense of if it's working for you. And by me working for you, I don't mean, well, I don't know what it means for you, but for me, it just meant like my writing got so much better and I was having so much more fun writing that I would never trade that for, you know, having some friends and family be able to support me. What you can do is really simple. You make two columns. On one side, you write the benefits of writing under a pseudonym. And then on the other side, you write the benefits of writing under your real name. So for me, on the one side was freedom and anonymity. And on the other side was support and audience growth. And so it was really easy for me to make that decision. Now, let me be clear. I do want audience growth. You know, I want to write books that reach millions of people. And in order to do that, I have to grow my audience. But I also know that I have a lot of work to do as a writer. So the pace for this, for me, is perfect. I slowly grow my audience as I keep getting better at writing. Like, it feels exactly right. All right, so let's talk about audience. I said I have almost 1,300 subscribers. How did I grow at all if I'm starting under a pseudonym? This is a question I get a lot. When I first started, I was in my first cohort at Rite of Passage, which for those of you who don't know, is the online writing course that I took where I started writing under a pseudonym. And I actually went into that course as my real name and went out as Charlie. So like during the course, I changed my name. I should have done it before. And if I were to go back and if I were to give that advice to anybody else, you know, don't share your name with people in the beginning because those people now know your name. So we were given the assignment of reaching out to 15 of our friends and family to ask them to subscribe to our newsletter to get things started. So I could not reach out to my friends and family. So I reached out to, instead of 15, I reached out to 14 people in Rite of Passage, you know, my peers in Rite of Passage. That's where I started. I started with 14 subscribers and I very slowly grew from there. And the way I did that was, one, I published every week and I still never missed a week. I have never, you know, reshared, you know, repurposed old content. Like, I've always shared something new every single week for 4.5 years. I was also pretty active on Twitter for probably 2 to 3 years. I had no idea what I was doing at first. My husband is very active on Twitter, so he would help me and I would get really frustrated and I would hate it. And then I started to like it and I would connect with people on there and at first I would just like share other content of things that I was learning from and just like write about what I like, a tweet about something that I had a takeaway from like a podcast I'd listened to or a book I'd read or something. And then I would just sometimes write tweets about writing or about parenting or about anything that struck me. And I did that for a while and I probably was tweeting every day for a while and then maybe like once a week for a long time. But I don't really like Twitter anymore. So, and I know that it's very different. It's just constantly changing. So I wouldn't say that you have to or you don't have to. I think that there's plenty of social media platforms to grow your audience on, but that was just the way that I did it. I also worked with Rite of Passage for every cohort after the cohort I was a student. So from cohort 5 to cohort, 10, I worked with them. And working with Rite of Passage, every cohort you go in, there's this whole new crop of students, of writers that I am connecting with. And it's not only like on Twitter where you're just connecting through tweets. I'm actually like seeing them in Zoom breakout rooms. And there's just something about connecting with people face to face that makes you want to support them more. So every cohort, I would get more subscribers through that. Eventually, I made a badass website thanks to my friend Nate Cadleck. He is this incredible designer and he designed for me my website. Now, my original website was through Squarespace and it was the ugliest thing you could have ever seen. It was so basic. I couldn't even have pictures on it because I write under a pseudonym, so I couldn't have pictures of myself. And I just had like, I found like a cartoon image, like a drawing or whatever that I don't even know what it was. And I called myself the transparent parent, which I thought was so fucking clever. Like it was like so different from what it is now, but I had to get something up to just have a place to put my writing because I was writing my essays. And then from there, oh, and by the way, the website that I love, that I'm really proud of now, that Nate made for me, you know, Nate, I met through Rite of Passage. And so there's a lot of serendipity that has happened for me from writing online. And so that is just one of those benefits. Another thing I eventually did was I branched out to podcasting. So now I have different ways people can consume my content. So that's how I grew and how I continue to grow very slowly. So for the first 6 months, I stared at the numbers. I stared at the metrics. And then after 6 months, around 6 months, I stopped caring. I mean, I didn't stop caring, but it just became less important. I was so excited about doing the work. I was so excited about the writing because, like, when I started, it was scary. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I was really putting myself out there. I was really being vulnerable with my writing. But then after 6 months, I just felt like I found my place in the writing world, and I didn't need to prove myself as much. So what about support? It's nice to have your family and friends support you, right? Yeah, I know. I have so much support though. Like, some of you listening right now might be Rite of Passage alumni, and you all know what it's like to have supportive peers. I'm not talking about hundreds of people. I'm talking about 5 people who cheer you on. I don't need much more than that. I mean, really, I only need Sam. Sam was my number one supporter from the very beginning, and knowing that he was reading my stuff and cheering me on, it meant everything to me, and it allowed me to push myself. I also had a lot of, you know, a good, solid group of people in the beginning who I think that they knew that I was writing under a pseudonym, and they were especially supportive. And it was really nice to have that. Let me just very quickly tell you why my name is Charlie Bleeker. A lot of people want to know how to pick your name, and I don't think that picking your name is a very big deal, but I will tell you the story anyway. So as a kid, I always wanted to be called Charlie. I didn't like my name growing up, and I really liked boys' names for girls, and I loved the name Charlie. So I told everybody to call me Charlie. There is actually one friend from high school who still jokingly calls me Charlie, but it didn't stick for anybody else. And then Bleeker, well, I just always loved Bleecker Street in New York City, like downtown, and I thought it was very magical. I lived closer to the Upper East Side when I lived in New York City for a very short time, 9 months. But anytime I would go downtown, I don't know, the name Bleecker Street just always made me smile. The area down there, I don't know, there was just something about it that just felt magical. And when I was, for a short time, I was writing screenplays, and I wrote a feature. It was a Christmas movie about this family ensemble cast with their last name was Bleeker. And so I wrote about these characters with the last name Bleeker, and I was very familiar with the name Bleeker. And so when it came time to write my name, I was like, I want to be a Bleeker. So that was Charlie Bleeker. Now, I would say when you're picking your own name, pick something that's easy to say, that's easy to spell. I thought that I was picking a name that was easy to spell, and nobody spells my fucking name right. Everybody spells Bleeker wrong. There is a C in Bleeker. There is a C in Bleeker. Now, I don't regret it because I still love the name Bleeker, but it's pretty funny that I chose a name that people spell wrong. Okay, so now that I have made it clear that you can't write under a pseudonym and tell your friends and family about it, I will talk about how things are now changing for me. So I guess there's a little nuance to the rule that I have made. My family and friends know, for the most part, that I write under a pseudonym, but they don't know the extent of it. I have told them that I publish every week, but they don't see it. You know, they don't know anything that I'm writing about. My best friends don't even know. And I have been asked a bunch of times, not by some family and some friends, to share my writing. And when will I share my writing? And let me tell you what, I have been tempted. There have been some pieces that I've written that I've wanted to share with the people that I've written about, but I haven't done it yet. I haven't done it yet. And, you know, this kind of struggle inside is all about, you know, it's really just about your inner scorecard. And I have to remind myself of this all the time. I am doing this so I can write freely about whatever or whomever I want. I am not doing this for validation from them, even though I love validation from people. Okay. So when I meet people as Charlie, so for those of you who know me and for those of you who are listening, you guys know me as Charlie. With you, I care much less about my pseudonymity. So you might be listening to this right now and know me as Charlie, but also happen to know my real name. And that's okay. You still really just know me as Charlie. You don't really, like, just because you know my name doesn't mean you know me. Like, the people that know me before, it feels way more vulnerable for them to know about Charlie. But for you guys that know my real name, I trust that you're not going to out me, because what for? There's just nothing to gain from that. So there are some people who know me as Charlie that also know my real name. And the reason that is because, one, as I mentioned before, when I started Rite of Passage, I entered as my name. So there's a small crop of people that are subscribed to my newsletter who know my real name. And then whenever money gets involved, it's really difficult to keep my name a secret. So if I have to pay you or you are paying me, I will most likely just tell you my real name. There's been a couple instances where I've like paid in an Amazon gift card or something like that, and I've avoided it. But for the most part, when it gets to that point, I'm like, whatever, you can know my real name. No big deal. Now, as I mentioned earlier, things are changing because I'm writing a book. And my book title is Becoming Charlie. Shout out to Michael Dean. He came up with that title, working title. Who knows if it will change, but right now that's what it is. And basically, Becoming Charlie is pretty self-explanatory. I am becoming my pseudonym. I am becoming my authentic self, which is why I love this title, because it really encapsulates what's happening to me. And so in order to fully embrace my identity as Charlie, I need to come out of the closet, so to speak. So when I publish this book, I will be publishing it as Charlie Bleeker. But at the same time, I will be letting my friends and family know that Charlie Bleeker exists. Now, just how many people will I tell of my friends and family? You know, like, I'm obviously going to tell my immediate family. So that's my parents and my siblings. And then outside of that, you know, I might not tell anybody. And then with my friends, I'm going to tell my closest friends who have been kind of like following along and asking me how things are going, and they want to know. And they said, you know, that I've kind of made this promise to them, like, when I come out, I will tell you. And so there's probably like, I don't know, 20 of those people. And then with my family, that's 6. So like less than 30 people. Now, it could just be those people, but you know what happens when you tell some people, then it spreads. But the other approach to this, which I'm thinking about, is to make it a blast. Tell everybody. Every Christmas, Sam and I do an email. Instead of sending out Christmas cards, we send a Christmas email. And we've got like 200 plus people on our email list. And I'm like, do I just send it out to this email list that I have and let everybody know? And just, you know, if I did that, it would be for marketing purposes, because I'm trying to get as much reach as I can with the book. So I don't know if I will do that or not, but somebody who is much smarter than me with marketing can help me make that decision at a later date. But in the last memoir episode I did on Life on Delay, it's the one right before this by John Hendrickson. If you guys haven't listened to it, definitely check it out. He, at one point in the book, he is explaining to his parents why he's writing his memoir. And on page 216, he writes, "One of the burdens I've been under this past year is to be Zen master, the stuttering guru, and to play the part of self-actualized, I began, and I'm not. And a big part of this book is I'm trying to figure these things out." And I just want to share that because in this moment in the book, he's talking to his parents and he's saying, I'm writing this book because I'm trying to figure these things out. So he's having these hard conversations with his parents. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be having to have these hard conversations with my family as I'm writing my book, as I'm sharing these pages with them. And, you know, I don't know if that part will be in the actual book, because it doesn't fit in my timeline, because my timeline is from 2011 to 2021. But regardless, for my own journey, it's about becoming Charlie. It's about becoming my pseudonym. And part of that becoming is telling my family who I am and what I'm doing, because this is the real me and I want them to know. Another reason that I need to tell them is because many of them will be in the book. It's not fair, I don't think, to write about people, even if I give them fake names, and not let them read it first. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what you're writing, but if I'm writing things that are not just like kind of, oh, this person was there and I mentioned something about them, like, fine, whatever. But if I'm like writing deeply about a person, I want them to see it. So I will be sharing parts of the book with them before it's published, not the entire thing, but anything that involves them that I think that I want to not get their blessing on, but sort of like say like, hey, you were there for this. Is there anything you'd like to add? Do you remember this differently? Like, I would like to get their input and potentially incorporate their thoughts into the book as well. I am starting to test the waters. I sent my mom a piece. It was a piece that I published, and I just put it into Google Docs, and I changed, you know, the name Charlie to my real name. It was a light piece. It was a newsletter that I wrote a while ago about my time living in New York City. And it was light, it was fun, and my mom was a part of that story in only positive ways. So I wanted to see how it would go, and it went really well. She was really receptive. She was very supportive. And I gave notes in the Google Doc to like prompt her of like, do you remember this part? Was there anything else you remember here? And she wrote in it, like just like my friends do when they edit my pieces. It was really cool. Now, after that piece, I wrote a newsletter about this amazing moment that I had with my mom that felt like a breakthrough. And after I wrote that, Sam was like, are you gonna, you know, would you consider sending that to your mom? And I was just like, absolutely not. That's too vulnerable. I'm not ready. Because I mean, I would like to share it with her eventually. And it was a nice piece about her, but it's scary. It is scary to share this stuff because I'm not sure. I felt like it was this breakthrough between us, and I have no idea if that's how she felt about it too. So I'm easing my way into this sharing with my mom and family members. So because I've been writing as Charlie for so long, and because I have been becoming her, I believe that once it's widely known and everybody knows, I will not be able to return to my old way of writing. Because that's the fear. As soon as you let people know, then, you know, you don't have that pseudonymous cape. You don't have that freedom anymore. But I think that because I've been writing like this for so long, I will still be able to write as freely as I have been, because now it's the only way I know how to write. But it's taken me over 4 years to get here. But I think that I'm here now, and I think that I'm here to stay. And I hope that's true. But there's only, you know, I'm not going to know until it happens. So if you are considering writing under a pseudonym, just remember that once you expose yourself, you can't unexpose yourself. So it might feel good in the moment. I'm sure it will feel good in the moment to share it, but you might regret it later on. All right, quick update on the book. I have a plan. I have a plan to have a first draft by December. What? I know, I can't believe it. So basically, I just kind of figured this out. I mapped it out. I am writing a chapter every 2 weeks. And so far I have written the prologue and chapter one. I just wanted to take this time to share with you how I'm doing it in case any of you are interested in your own book, if you're writing your own thing and want to know my process. So every 2 weeks, I meet with Michael Dean. Michael Dean is basically, I don't even know what I should call him. He's like my coach, like a book coach. Yeah, that's what we'll call him. He's basically, we get together on a Zoom call. We stare at a mirror board that he has recreated, which is just a big visual outline, an incomplete outline, by the way. I did not have a full outline when I started writing. But there is, you know, there is a sort of framework. We've got a definite beginning, a definite middle, and a definite end, which is very exciting. And then there are specific stories that are definitely in there. And then it's a little bit fuzzy figuring out all the rest of it. But we've got a lot of big picture stuff. And that's what we talk about on our call. We talk about the big picture. And tomorrow, I have a call with him, and I imagine that we will dive into chapter two, and we'll talk about everything that needs to go into chapter two, and so that I feel prepared after that call to then write chapter two. And then I will spend the next 2 weeks writing it, and during that time, I will send him one or two drafts, and he will give me feedback, and I will work, I will iterate, and I will just work on chapter two for the next 2 weeks. And then by the next time we meet, I will put a pin in that chapter because I want to keep moving. And so it will not be complete. I know that there will be work on it. I already know that there's a lot of work to do on the prologue in chapter one, but I do have completed drafts of those, and I feel really good about them, even though I know they need work. The hope is that when I go back into them, you know, in 2025, when I'm finished the first draft, there will be all these notes from myself and from Michael. Michael has asked me so many great questions and prompts to kind of get the juices flowing to make those chapters better. And so when I pop back in there next year with fresh eyes and I see all those notes, I will be able to attack the second draft. Now, don't ask me how long the second draft will take. I feel like the first draft will be much easier and then the second draft will be much harder. But yeah, that's the plan. I don't know how many chapters there will be. I'm accounting for like 10 to 15. So if I do 10 to 15, I should be able to finish by the end of this year. If I end up writing more chapters than that, then I won't finish by the end of this year, but I don't care. I really care more about writing a chapter every 2 weeks because that feels good. It feels right. It feels doable. I'm having fun. I say this all the time to everybody. I like the writing process to be fun. So, as long as I'm having fun, then I'm going to want to keep going. And so that's it. That's where I am right now. I hope that if you are considering writing under a pseudonym, then this was helpful. If there were some questions that you still have, please reach out to me and let me know, and I will address them either in podcast form or in written form, or we can hop on a call if you want to talk about it. Same thing goes for if you're thinking about writing a book. I certainly don't have the answers, but I'm on this journey too, and it's really fun. I'm in the early stages, so of course it's fun. We'll see how I feel in December. So next up, I read Drinking a Love Story by Caroline Knapp. I am really excited to talk about that book. It was so beautiful. It was one of those books where you read it and then you just like kind of fall into like a little bit of darkness because you're like, I will never write anything as beautiful as this. And this happens to me all the time. I read something beautiful and then I'm like, oh my God, I will never write like this. But then I quickly pull myself off the ledge because of course I'm not going to write a book like Caroline Knapp. I don't write like Caroline Knapp, and that's okay. But there are some things I can learn from her that I can carry with me. And that is the whole point. All right, guys, until next time.